Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about my vision of the future of both ADHD and dyslexia and where I see it all going. You know, where we've been and where we're getting to. You know, let me try and do that all in about 8 to 10 minutes. So let's dive in. Okay, let's talk about my future visions. Now, I don't believe I'm the Notre Dame of dyslexia, ADHD, and neurodiversity, but I do have a few thoughts I thought I might share. This is good if you've known you've had ADHD or dyslexia for years, or you've just been diagnosed. I just want to share a few learnings I've got and where I think the world will change, let's say by 2035, 2040, let's think 15, 20 years for this vision to become real. If you're dyslexic, you know, you've probably got an easy ability to visualize where things go. You know, how you visualize that may be different to my vision. Please share with me, you know, send me a message on Facebook or via our website, truthaboutdyslexia.com, if you've got other visions that you think are going to come true. As I say, we're all throwing ideas out. We're all completely driven by the experiences we've had in our lives. But these are the ones I've had, and this is what I see. So one of the things I talk about a bit is I do believe dyslexia and ADHD are a lot closer than they've been given credit for. Dyslexia and ADHD were all named and decided on separately, but it was only from what was originally seen in a group of the population. You know, if someone struggled with reading and writing, you know, dyslexia is what they were called. You know, if they had issues with attention, you know, they were originally called ADD. And then that evolved to ADHD, where they wanted to kind of, in my opinion, cut down the numbers of people that were able to be diagnosed. And they added in hyperactivity to really own it as an external factor. But that's just my opinion. And so let's just say it's evolved to where it is today. But with the world being where it is, and so many people across the world learning all this stuff, it takes a lot for anything to really change. You know, you see ideas around the medical field all the time being questioned, being looked at by different doctors, and some aren't even doctors, but people looking at things, scientists is probably the word I'm looking for. You know, they're all looking for different ways to do things to make them more efficient. And as they kind of break through things, they realize how much of what we've been told was just not quite right. Was it done in a negative intention way? Most of the time, I don't think it was. But we just didn't know as much as we know now. With gene testing, with the ability to go deeper on pretty much anything they can test, what we're learning is just so remarkably different to what we've been told. Now, a great example of this on a non-dyslexia ADHD way of looking at it is the kind of cholesterol argument. You know, in the old days, everyone said fat was the devil, and sugar and carbohydrates, there wasn't as big a problem with those. And then, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later, they're like, oops, you know, some people actually can process fat absolutely fine, doesn't affect them at all, or very lowly. And then other people, or a quiet majority of people, are really struggling with highly processed foods and sugars and the like. And so they kind of completely got that wrong and had to backtrack on it. It was such a big thing, they actually did backtrack on it, and a lot more new stuff is coming out. But as we're seeing with doctors, many of them still believe high fat and that side of things is not quite right. So what I'm trying to just get across here is how long it takes to change people's opinions. And so when it comes to ADHD and dyslexia and neurodiversity in general, I believe there's going to be in the next 10 to 20 years a real aha moment where they go, okay, there's this thing happening in the brain, and it seems to then create different outcomes, be it ADHD-like symptoms, be it dyslexia-like symptoms, dyspraxia, dyscalculia. But they're going to find the root cause of some of this, or the root challenges that cross over, because there's not enough of this crossover talk happening, in my opinion. And it may lead to different naming conventions, it may lead to a lot of things, but what I can tell you is it'll be a really slow change. Because when something this big happens, it's very hard to shift it in a different direction. So I think with AI, with all this stuff, in the next 10 to 20 years, genome testing, we're going to see, maybe it's even a gene that's going to be discovered that actually speaks to both ADHD and dyslexia. These are just the two I'm talking of. Think of the broader neurodiversity scope, where there's going to be a big connection, because there are so many comorbidities, so many things that a person with dyslexia has that someone with ADHD has as well. There's so much commonality. And people just go, oh, it's just a cross-diagnosis. But it's very weird that over 50%, and this is a statistic I heard, 50% have both dyslexia and ADHD to some degree. And potentially, whenever someone says 50%, you sometimes feel it could be even more than that, as they haven't actually got the right numbers. They're just throwing numbers out. So I think there's going to be a real crossover. That's what I see in the future. The second thing I see in the future for us with neurodiversity is I believe we're currently going through a bit of a wave where neurodiversity is starting to be seen in the same context as when homosexuality kind of came out the closet, you know, and became, there used to be some terrible thoughts about it, and people didn't like it, and people didn't understand it, and it was scary, and all this stuff. And now the world's a lot more accepting. There's still challenges, don't get me wrong, but we're a much more accepting world. I kind of see neurodiversity a bit like that, in the fact that we're stepping out of the shadows, where it was something where we tried to fit in for so, so long, and tried to, you know, even to our own mental health and detriment and issues and stuff. And we're starting to become more present. You're starting to see more influencers talk about autism, ADHD, dyslexia, and starting to share the truths about it. You know, some of them aren't all backed up by tens of papers of fact, but they're just real life experiences. Kind of like what I share on this podcast. I share experiences, how things I see are working and what can improve them in the future, right? And that's how I try and get it across. But we're starting to see that more and more. And I think that's only going to ramp up. It's going to be like a neurodiversity wave that hits the world as people start to realize there's nothing wrong with neurodiverse people. We just think things differently. And there's a benefit to that, right? There's a benefit for us seeing things out of a box, for companies, for life. You know, we have different goals sometimes than others do. And so I think that's probably number two on my list of where I see the future. And number three is I really believe we're going to be coming into our own even more than we are now. And that's due to technology. You know, artificial intelligence, all of this other stuff, at this point at least, are great tools for us to use. You know, the invent of YouTube, all of these different technologies or systems, these ways that take away the administration or the admin part of life is absolute gold for us with neurodiversity. Like, it just really helps us. It gets our brains working. It allows us to actually implement what we're dreaming of. Because in the old days, if you had to repeat something 1,000 times to get any traction, it was always going to be tough. Naturally, many of us, especially with ADHD, we're not repeaters. We struggle with executive function. We struggle with this whole repeat button in our brains because it starts to get boring, right? It's not interesting. It doesn't drive our dopamine, which I'm going to do a podcast on dopamine on Thursday because I love talking about it. But it's the stuff that just bores us, really, really bores us. And so when technology can step in and say, hey, what if I took some of this technological problem away? How would that help you? You know, every neurodiverse person is jumping up saying, yes, this is what I need. And so that's only going to add to our abilities. You know, being able to use ChatGPT to help take a great idea for an email or an article and to flesh it out is amazing. You know, I can use a tool like ChatGPT. I can speak into it on my phone and say, I want to write you to write me an article that's 1,000 words long. And here is the ideas and the premise. So I can just blurt out in my dyslexic way all the thoughts I have, and it can then put them into some sort of format that makes sense. I can then look through it, I can read through it or scan through it and say, great, can you rewrite it like this? And give it an opinion and it will rewrite it in a certain way. And so all of these things are only going to make our lives easier to allow us to get our thoughts out the way, you know, and everything in this world is only going to become better over time if we start to use these tools. The biggest thing I say to anyone with neurodiversity is step into AI early. You know, take time, put your $20 down on a ChatGPT premium license or whatever it is, you know, whatever tool. It doesn't matter if it's that or something else. Maybe you like art. Learn how to use Midjourney. Let your brain work, because you start to learn some of these tools, it starts to open your mind to what's possible. You know, someone, one thing I'll leave you on is in the world of AI, is there's actually a few AI profiles now on Instagram that are fake people that are currently earning six figures per month in advertising revenue due to artificially created images, the followers, and the influencing that they're doing. To me, that's mind-boggling, but it basically proves how, you know, your artificial intelligence can create stuff that we can only barely fathom at this point. So, guys, that's what I wanted to share. I think the future is really bright for neurodiversity. So if you're feeling down, you're feeling different, you're feeling not good enough, I want you to remember that the future is coming. It may not happen quite as quickly as we want it, but to keep your head held high, because we're coming into a period where it's only going to get better. Now, on the next podcast, I'm going to talk a bit more about dopamine. It's, you know, I've done this before, but I've got a few new thoughts I wanted to share, and I hope you enjoy that episode as well.